All right, I would like to call to order today's University Council meeting on Wednesday, January 31st, 2024. Pat, can you verify that we have a quorum?
We do have a quorum.
Great. If I could have a motion to adopt the agenda for today's meeting. First Birch. A second. All in favor, please say aye. All opposed? Great. We have an agenda. Item four is an approval of the December 6, 2023 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes? A second. So can we have discussion about the minutes? Any edits, comments, corrections? Hearing none. All in favor of approving the December 6, 2023 minutes, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Oh, thank you. Sorry. Should have given space for that. Looks like our minutes are approved. Pat, do we have any requests for public comment?
No public comment today.
Great, thank you. And that'll bring us to item six, which is the President Freeman's announcements. And with us today for that is Provost Elish Piper.
Thank you. I just have a couple quick announcements. The first one is that the State of the University address has been moved because of the remote day for weather. So I want to let you know that's going to be Tuesday, February 8th at 2 p.m. in Altgeld Auditorium. President Freeman and Faculty Senate President Ben Creed will be having a conversation about the state of the university and the 2024 university goals. So we're hopeful that you'll be able to attend that state of the university session. Also want to let you know that our spring enrollment 10-day count came in. And overall, we're down about 1% in enrollment compared to where we were last spring. Our undergraduate enrollment is up, so we're very excited about that. Our graduate enrollment is down a bit, but we're very excited about the undergraduate enrollment. We're up a total of 7 students from where we were last year, but as we know, every student counts. So thank you to all of you for all you've done to support student success and student re-enrollment. And also hope that everyone's spring semester is off to a great start. Doesn't feel like spring, but I suspect by the end of the semester it will. So thank you.
Great, thank you. That brings us to item 7, which is new business, which we have none listed. So then that brings us to item 8, which is a conversation about normal road closure. We've invited CFO George Middlemist and Associate Vice President John Heckman to present and then entertain questions from the group. So you can use the dais or.
Says more quick. You want to open?
Yeah, I can. Do you want to stand?
Those are good.
I prefer standing. So I want to thank everybody for inviting us to talk about the normal road closure. I'm going to hand it off to John to kind of work through the mechanics because he really understands that a little bit better. And then we only have like 3 slides. So we want to really save time for questions, comments, concerns. So we can have a conversation about the process for closing normal road and then to address any of the questions or concerns that you all have. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to John to kind of walk through what transpired over the summer with the city and we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Just to refresh everyone's memory that, yeah, this is about normal road closure and specifically, you know, the concerns and comments that we've gotten about Swen Parson in particular. That's one of the prominent buildings that was most impacted by the closure of the road, of course. So let me just go over a few points. The city approached us last spring sometime. I don't have a specific date in mind right now and floated the idea of closing normal. And it was tied in combination with their approach to re-envision how the intersection of Lucinda and Normal would look. They were looking to make some improvements on that intersection and thought about putting in a roundabout. And then their further thoughts evolved to Well, what about Normal? Wouldn't it be nice to have the campus more consolidated, not having a major thoroughfare go through the middle of campus? So they brought that idea forward, discussed it with us a little bit, and after some internal discussions, we said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So we continued vetting the idea, both internally and with the city. The city brought the issue in front of their city council in late June, had initially proposed it, the idea in a general manner, no specific timelines. And then after that meeting, they got into more discussions about, well, what if we actually temporarily close the road that summer, which would have been last summer, of course, and tried out this closure period for a good year before they could anticipate actually making the renovations on the intersection of Normal and Lucinda, or even attempting to more permanently close the road a little farther down the timeline. And that's what transpired at the next city council meeting, that they proposed actually closing Normal Road before the semester would start in August. And a date was summarily chosen that would be most convenient for the campus and for the city to make that happen. And again, before the students came back to campus so they could find this, if I can say it this way, the new normal for the middle of campus with the road being closed that way. And so that was the rough timeline that was anticipated. It gave the campus an opportunity to start re-envisioning what the center of campus could be, what the MLK Commons could be, how we could use that space for event purposes and other reasons besides just being a thoroughfare down the middle of the campus. It gave an opportunity for the campus to actually put a focus on pedestrians more so than on vehicles and enhance that overall center of campus feel. We knew there were going to be some impacts. We knew there were impacts to the bus routes, and we had to talk to the city and determining how impacted bus routes would be rethought, reconfigured, and worked out in a different manner. We knew there would be just a different commuting patterns, different access to buildings and things like that. And that's why, as we went through the summer and the city council made their decisions, we followed up with announcements to campus. And those announcements did generate some questions that came forward, and we worked through the concerns that various groups had and started making some accommodations. We knew very well that we weren't going to think of all consequences at the time, and there very well would be some afterthoughts and or afterthoughts, yeah, that we would have afterwards. Actually, with the opportunity to have a board meeting in August, we shared with the board what transpired over the summer and explained to them this opportunity with the city of rethinking the center of campus. Our board of trustees found that to be a wonderful idea and continued to support the idea going forward. And we tried to give them a vision of this isn't just a put a barrier on one end of the street and a barrier on the other end. We wanted to eventually transform the space so it looked and felt like it fit in with the overall sense of the campus there. So we tried a couple visuals on the bottom of the screen there of what it might eventually look like. Bring in some more green space, but still make it an event space that could be accommodated. And speaking of event space, there were efforts throughout the summer and through the fall as the weather cooperated to bring in food trucks. And I think that was a very nice opportunity to have engagement by students and faculty and staff with those food truck congregations that came. I think we ordered try to have those weekly throughout the fall. So that was the play of timetable. And where do we go from here then? So there's some design considerations of what do we have the space actually look like in the long term? How do we transform it so it just doesn't look like a temporarily closed street? And I know that's what it looks like right now. I can fully appreciate that. This is something that we're going to have to continue to work with the city to transform. I should have made a point earlier that if you weren't aware, this is a city street. So it's not something that NIU can just unilaterally dictate what we want to do here. So it was something that we work in partnership with the city. And as they have money available for the transformation of the intersection at Lucinda or the transformation of the closed section of Normal, we'll have to work within their timelines and available funding, of course. It is going to stem from that roundabout at Lucinda. We're looking for an opportunity to instead of having a four-way intersection there, having it just three-way, and then how do you blend in the rest of the campus to start from that intersection and not look, have it look like just a closed street, like I said. We talked about having access for emergency vehicles. How do you make sure that when necessary, should the worst thing happen and we needed to bring a fire truck up that street or up that alleyway, how do we accommodate that? So that needs to be one of those considerations as we work through final design features. And how do we enhance sustainability? Being an obvious focus for the university, how do we turn that green space into something that is going to be more sustainable in the future? And it's not just more pavement upon pavement. And then lastly, that, as I mentioned before, the food truck, how do we turn it into a space that can be used for events and engagements like that? This has not been ironed out. It's nothing's been set in stone of how that future vision is going to be. But now's the time we're going to start to get serious with the city and how do we start to transform that street now that we've had a few months, at least last fall, to try to experiment a little bit to say, how do we use this space and what should it look like moving forward? So let me pause there and see what questions that we can help answer at this point.
Hi, Mark Falkoff, law school located in Swin Parson.
Sure.
So I guess just a few things. I personally am agnostic about whether this is a good idea. I have no idea. It sounds like it might be great. It does seem as if it came out of nowhere. One day we were just informed that this was closed off with no consultation whatsoever. And maybe by virtue of the announcement, it was inviting consultation. But even then, I don't feel like there's really been any significant input. So I don't love the process personally. And then some concerns that I don't think you articulated, but I know there are persons with disabilities have had difficulty in our building with accessing rides because of the closure of the street, which seems quite serious. I know that there's a Brinks truck that has to go to the bursar's office that ends up, you know, parking in bizarre kinds of places. I know that's kind of an issue. I guess I would just mention those. I know my colleague, Teresa Clark, is not here, but I think she has more issues. But I'll just toss those out. Thanks.
Sure. I appreciate that feedback. Just react to a couple of those things, right? So first, you know, as John and I visited before the meeting, I don't normally do this, but I felt like that I needed to really be prepared for today. So we kind of walked through, you know, questions we thought we might get. And as I started thinking about the issues that were really, you know, seemingly to me here, there were really two that jumped out at me. One was communication, how we communicated, how we received information. You know, I think we have learned a lot on how we can do better next time. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, hindsight's always 20/20, right? And so, you know, I think that we fell into a situation where I like to use analogies. So when my kids were little and they wanted to do something, if I didn't think it was a particularly good idea, my answer was usually, you know, I would love for you to go to your friend's house, but mom says no. And if they went to mom, she usually did, you know, I would love for you to go to your friend's house, but dad says no. And so I think we ran into that a little bit here. The city came to us and asked us, you know, do we want to close Normal Road? And I think that we weren't as active or participative because we were letting them kind of, you know, be mom or dad. And I think if you go to the city, they would say the same thing about us. So we were just trying to accommodate NIU. So I think we could have done a much better job communicating at the beginning about what we were thinking about doing with the city. And we were beholden to the city's process. So the city had hearings to talk about this, to have announced when those hearings were so people could get feedback, to maybe even have worked with the city to bring them onto campus. I think the timing also fell at a really bad communications timing. It came in the summer when faculty aren't here and students aren't here. And so could we have worked with the city to say, hey, the time, we love the thoughts that you're bringing to us. The timing's not perfect. Can we think about how we do this? So those are all lessons learned. It doesn't address the Normal Road issue because we didn't communicate as well as I think I could have communicated to campus. And so there's that. The other issue is accessibility. And so that's something that I don't think that we want to we can't make light of that. Accessibility to our building is really, really important. And I'm learning that accessibility at NIU's campus has some challenges, right? Because the buildings are old. And so for Swin Parsons, really the accessible spaces are right off of Normal Road. And so, you know, how do we either open up some more or address that? And one of the things I would, you know, that came to me as I was, you know, thinking about all this was also really encouraging people when you have accommodation needs to work with HR to put those forward so we can really document those, to think about what are the right strategies that we can employ. There's a one of my teammates shared with me that we used to have a thing called the pup ride, which I think some of the people have been here for a while know about, but it was to help people get from buildings. And it wasn't a phenomenal success. But as we get more information about needs that our community members have, we can begin to make some informed decisions. You know, do we open up another door to be accessible in Swin Parsons? You know, we never let costs be a reason why we don't do something, but we have to figure out where, you know, what's the right place? How do we do that? Having only two really accessible places, do we need to have a third or a fourth that makes it a little easier for people? You know, we worked through some of the parking challenges with the parking lot in Davis. And so how could we maybe leverage that? So I don't know that we have all the answers for that right now, but it's something that we are trying to work through, and having people, not just in Swin Parsons, but anywhere that have challenges, that have accommodation needs, to fill out those requests to HR so that we can begin to make the campus a little bit more accessible for everybody.
I'm happy that we've already started talking about this. Because I'm not part of the President's Council on Disabilities here on campus. And we've had a few comments that there are barriers on campus. And we've had requests to deal with those. We've gotten those requests to handle the barriers, and we've been listening to what people are saying, and it's more like, oh, well, I'm sorry, but right now this is the new normal and we have to follow these new procedures. And I'm kind of thinking about that, and it doesn't feel very accommodating to people with disabilities. So those of you that are in Swin Parsons Hall, you know that they've been doing renovations at the building there. And in the front, the door on Normal Road, that's where the renovations have started, right in the front, and and it's closed. And so that means the accessibility for people in the building has been impacted. And so I've been wondering about that. How are we going to handle that? I've also been wondering about the community itself, because we need to have a transportation access study done, an accessibility study done, to see how people can better access these buildings. That's something that we really need before we make permanent changes and see what happens.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Tasha Johnson, President, Operating Staff Council. I think it's important for me to stand up too, because we had several discussions at the Operating Staff Council where many people were also feeling like it just came out of where? Where was this happening? And I would say, if this is something that we are definitely moving forward with, maybe there can be some kind of buy-in on what kind of space goes in between, because people also talked about the accessibility to the library. So I just wanted to at least let other people know there are multiple people. We had to like cut the discussions because they weren't moving forward, but multiple people said they sent things to President Freeman and to, I believe, also you as well, that they didn't know this was happening and they were very concerned about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am Teresa Rado. I'm also a resident of Swin Parsons. And I think everyone here, at least up here, knows my name, because I appreciate, John, you said that there was communication going on, but on August 8th, we received the email that the road was closing on August 11th. Thank you. We needed more communication before that because I read the Chronicle. I saw that a roundabout was in consideration. My thoughts on roundabout, different story. We got nothing. There was nothing campus-wide to anybody I asked or spoke to afterwards about knowing this was happening, to the point where multiple people were like, yeah, it's not going to happen. And then Friday came and boom, there were these barriers. Yep. I gave that 2 months. Thought, okay, we're going to see how this works. Food trucks, fabulous idea. Fabulous. Shut the road down and have food trucks every, you know, once a week. Fabulous idea. I then sent a message, and this is where the issue with me comes from in transparency. I sent a message to multiple people laying out not my irritations, because there were a lot of things about it that irritated me, but not my irritations. The accessibility issues, the suddenness with this. I don't know how many people in the room here park in the parking garage. It has become dangerous trying to leave the parking garage because of the way the traffic pattern has been sent. The sidewalks that are crumbling because the trucks are going over them, creating more accessibility issues. And I sent this and I got no response. And that's really where a level of frustration has come from, except from Ben Creed, who has been fabulous. Thank you, Ben, for responding and providing information. So this is a major change to campus. It has lots of good benefits to it, but it also has a lot of things that have to be worked through, and to ask the people who are directly impacted, who go down that road every day. And we've seen new adventures in the past 3 weeks between ice skating rinks and ski slopes and all of that. And to talk to us, I mean, we are in the building, Swen Parson, unfortunately, that is most directly impacted because we have no accessible entrance to get to without going over an icy sidewalk. I have watched fire trucks come down the road because, unfortunately or fortunately, my window faces it. And the fire person had to get out of the truck, move the barrier to keep going. Those, and you've mentioned that, I know, but these are serious issues to those of us who spend our days in the buildings that are right there, and we see it every day. And to have gotten no response, or as was indicated here, well, let's see, it's the new normal, let's see what happens. Very frustrating. And when we're in an era where we're trying to be more transparent and we're trying to share information, that is absolutely necessary. And to take what people here are saying and show that it's heard and put something in to help alleviate these pain points. It's not going to make the road reopen. I'm very well aware of that. But can we all work together to make it something we can all enjoy and live with? And I appreciate that.
Thank you, Teresa.
Hello. So I'm Wendy Vaughn. I'm also from Swen Parson College of Law, and I have the best spot. I have this great reserve spot. This affects me not at all. I get right in, and I have a bad knee, and I don't have to walk very far. But the other day, I saw this woman who works in Swen Parson with a walker, and she was an elderly woman, employee, public servant, right? And not only did she have to walk all the way from the parking garage down Normal Road to the far end where she works in Swen Parson, but she also had this icy path. And so the one sidewalk there just really had a lot of icy patches, and she was struggling quite a bit. And I asked her if I could help her. And we were going to sort of a similar place, which is an elevator that's in Swen Parson. And as the two of us made our way there, by the time we got to the elevator, we discovered that the elevator was broken. And she then had to walk all the way through Swen Parson to the other elevator down by the College of Law faculty suite to go up to the second floor to then traverse the entire distance of Swen Parson back to where she worked. And so I think this is probably an example of someone who's struggling every day just to get to her job. And so I really like the idea what you alluded to, the pub mobile. And I'm thinking whenever I go to one of these craft fairs or big arenas, there's these volunteers running around in little golf carts ferrying people to and from. We've got to do better. It's still winter. We have staff and people trying to get to their studies. I had a student email me the other morning, and she said she was walking to class. She slipped on the ice. She hit her head on the sidewalk. She tore her pants. She had to go home and change and then try to do it all over again. It's not okay. So I think we have to think about public safety and what we're doing in response to these wintry, icy conditions and try to think of ways to help people get to where they need to go. Because we have staff, we have students, we have faculty, and guess what else? We have visitors. People are coming to check us out, thinking about whether they should send their kids here, whether they themselves want to come here. We're also trying to recruit all kinds of people to work here because for some reason people keep leaving. We can't replace them fast enough. They also have to get from the visitor parking place to wherever it is they need to go. So I really like the idea of thinking about some kind of design that allows these little mobile mobiles to drive around and get people to where they go. And I think we need to do something in the short term while we're thinking this through so that the woman who works in Swin Carson and has a walker can get to where she needs to go.
Hello, I'm Deanna Ferris from the University Libraries. A sort of issue about accessibility because of the closure. Now our patrons can't actually access the book drops. They would have to walk to them. And so people who are returning a lot of books, and lots of people do have a lot of books on our campus, it now means going all the way to the front of the library. And so that's pretty cumbersome. One of the concerns that that I personally have is about safety concerns in general. I think not having a sort of north-south sort of thoroughfare is potentially complicated in terms of police and other emergency vehicles being able to get to other places around campus, and so having to do a little bit of a jog around. Also some concerns about the roundabout, since a lot of people struggle with the rules of a roundabout, having lived abroad and seeing how people use them, people struggle with those. And so if we're concerned about, safety of pedestrians, safety of people in vehicles, there are some concerns there. I think the other issue too is because we have this closure, it is now forcing people through down First Street and Annie Glidden. And so there's significantly increased traffic since that's happened. And so now we have also more students moving across that road, and it's often sort of dangerous, especially at night. And so one of the things I worry about when I'm coming back from teaching in the evening is the sort of increased traffic, not great visibility, and more students. And so I just want to make sure that when we're sort of looking at these things, and really trying to make sure that the people on this campus are safe, but also the people who are driving through campus are safe. And so thinking through those considerations. Thanks. Thank you.
I want to follow up on that thought about safety. One of the consequences I did not hear you address, but I've certainly noticed that there is a greater amount of traffic on Gilbert, just because of the lack of north-south routes. To me, that is a bigger safety issue, given that that's a major residence hall between other major buildings that students traverse a lot. And I've seen that when I go that direction. Is there some consideration for increased safety at Gilbert?
Okay, I appreciate that too.
Greg Beyer, College of Visual Performing Arts, and specifically the School of Music. I want to thank everyone for this amazing conversation and the really thoughtful comments. And this is, my comments are of a parallel nature, but concerning a related but different road closure, specifically the fact that the bridge over the Kishwaukee River immediately to the east of the the School of Music has been closed. And when this happened, with that, again, without any warning or without any mention that this would happen, I became aware of it at first, not because of the closure, but because several cars came into the north lot of the School of Music and proceeded to continue down the walkway on the east side of the School of Music to get to the other side, because they were confused and they saw the road closure. And rather than stop and turn around and go back down the road that's in between Gilbert and the art building, they literally drove their cars down the sidewalk. You know, if there had been pedestrians there, that could have been extremely problematic. I mean, it would be a liability for the university for sure. That bridge was closed, and we all heard about that and knew that that was coming last summer, and it was closed for longer than anyone anticipated, but they did open it again. But this most recent closure, I didn't see any notification regarding that. And furthermore, and this is a comment that has a similar resonance with some of the comments that have already been made, we have several visitors coming. This weekend is the first weekend of auditionees at the School of Music. And we'll have families and parents and people trying to get to the building to audition for us. And when that road is in a real state of disrepair with roads, you know, blocked on both sides, and that not only does it create similar traffic issues where I've seen an incredible amount of traffic going down that road between, again, Gilbert and the School of Music as a result of that closure and the other closure, and that road is crumbling as a result on both ends. I think you've probably seen that too. But you know, it doesn't really send the right kind of message, I think, for visiting families and that too. So because this is recruiting season, this is a timely issue that, and I wanted to bring it to your attention in parallel with this because it's obviously a related concern. Thank you.
I appreciate that. We'll let the city know on that one.
I have one question. I'm just curious. I know, John, you mentioned communication plan going forward. I'm just curious if there's any details that you're willing to share or able to share at this moment about how you're going to continue communicating with campus or bringing information in from campus or out to campus.
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. And I think this has given myself an opportunity to think, how do we facilitate more discussion as we go forward with the evolution of the closed section of Normal. We need to get into more discussions with the city. They've been focused on bridges and on the intersection projects as the first salvo of their efforts along Lucinda before they can focus on the closure of Normal. So as we get into some discussions and we throw out some options, we'll find some venues that we can come back and say, hey, here's what's being talked about, here's what's being considered, and maybe coming back to one of these sessions would be a good opportunity to collect some feedback on the ideas that are being vetted.
Yeah, I mean, I speak on behalf of University Council. I think this would be a great venue for it. And even over the summer, while we are not all on contract, there are mechanisms for UC to meet over the summer to hold those meetings as another point of communication. I'm sure you're not as familiar with our bylaws as I am, but there are those mechanisms. So even if it's off the academic calendar, this body can still meet. And I think still thinking through along the ways of how the campus can help you inform in those conversations with the city and to elevate those concerns from campus. I think clearly there's demand here to be a part of that conversation or share our perspective so that it can be advocated for on behalf of university campus. Are there any other questions or comments on this topic?
So I really appreciate everybody's candor and feedback. It has how we learn and grow. And so I think of things differently, right? Because we tend to go into the same patterns that we always go into. And so this challenges those sometimes, and I really appreciate that. And Teresa, if I was one of the people that didn't reply to an email you sent, you have my deepest apologies. And you can always, anybody can always nudge me if I haven't replied to an email, because it probably means I read it on my phone and I forgot to mark it unread and it's gone forever in the pile. But I take email really, really seriously. So if I ever don't respond to an email, please nudge me, because it just means that I read it and I moved on to the next email and didn't think clearly enough to unread it. So everybody have an amazing semester. I'm excited for the spring semester and all that we have before us.
Thank you both, and I appreciate your willingness to come and have the conversation and listen from us. So thank you. Right. That brings us to item 9, reports from councils, boards, and standing committees. We have no report from the Faculty Advisory Council to the IBHE. For the University Advisory Committee to the Board of Trustees, it's a very quick report. For those who were there, if there's something else you'd like to add, please feel free. But the main point of conversation of note here is President Freeman shared the university goals to the Board of Trustees, and the Board of Trustees approved those goals. And so those will be the focus of efforts university-wide for the upcoming year. You can see that as part of the Board of Trustees report that was that's on the website or on our on NIU's website as well. There's no report from Rules, Governance, and Elections Committee, and from Student Government Association. I saw Chris. Are you in a report or? Yeah, great. Thank you.
We look that way.
Yep. Hello, I'm Chris English. I'm representing the Student Government Association, specifically the legislative side of it. Our biggest update is this Friday. We will be having our State of the Senate talk. So if you're interested in what we're doing in more details, we'll be doing that in, I believe, Carl Sandburg. We are also working towards getting ready for annual funding renewal. So we're reaching out to all of the student organizations and making sure their constitutions are up to date and they're following all the bylaws. And stuff, making sure they're compliant in that aspect. And if you know anyone who would be a good position for student justices, we're still looking for student justices for the student Supreme Court. So please send your students our way and we'll look forward to get them in. And that's it.
Chris, is there an option to watch the State of Student Government Association online or is it just in person at Carl Sandburg?
I'm not quite certain, but I can work to try to get it online as well.
Thank you.
The time would be Friday at 12 p.m.
Thank you. All right, thank you. Up next is Operating Staff Council report. Do you have a report today? Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Zach Birch. I work for Housing and Residential Services, and I am on the Operating Staff Council. There we go. Operating Staff Council has been working on finding creative ways to engage with civil service and operating staff employees. Many of our colleagues are working from home and others are still on campus, so we have to be creative in how we're engaging with both audiences. As we have mentioned previously, the Civil Service Emergency Fund is currently open and we are taking donations. We have many of our colleagues that cannot afford their necessities. So we've heard of staff homelessness, staff that are in need of food pantries, and everything else to support our fellow colleagues. So the operating staff today is asking if you are able to make a donation or maybe to help create a matching offer for a donation to help others to donate. We would really appreciate that to show that we all care for our operating staff colleagues in that capacity. Additionally, this is my last my last university council meeting. I am leaving the university in 2 weeks, so I wanted to take the opportunity to thank this body, operating staff, and President Freeman in particular for really showcasing the importance of shared governance at the university level. I've really learned a tremendous amount from everything, so I look forward to taking that to my new endeavors. So thank you all so much.
Thank you, Zach. Supportive Professional Staff Council, do we have a report? No report. All right, so that brings us to informational items. A through O are the policy, library, and minutes. Item P is our next, I want to draw your attention to our next meeting, which is February 28th. And then that brings us to adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Second? All in favor? Yeah. All right, thank you all for meeting.